It's good to have you folks to come out on Friday night. Sometimes folks can't seem to get out on Friday night too well. I guess that's payday. I guess we're all looking forward to payday. One of these days, everybody's going to receive their pay. Some will receive the wages of sin, which is death. And some will receive the gift of eternal life. They'll be rewarded as to the deeds done in the body. That is to say, that there is an inter-angelic being that tabernacles in this little human body of clay. And he is the one, or she, whatever it might be, within this temple. That is the one that's so busy doing all the things that you see human beings do. When the hand comes to the mouth to feed it, that's the spirit on the inside that raised the hand. And when there is lust of the eyes as to gazing through the windows, that's the inter-spiritual man. And when there is something handed out to the needy and the poor, that is the spiritual man. And in the event that you don't believe it, just go by after the little man moves out and look over in the casket, and you'll see that the outer man doesn't do a thing. Since the inner man moved out, the outer man doesn't do a thing, because the outer man doesn't do anything anyway. It's the inner man, and that is why that the Lord is able, by the blood of Jesus and the body of the Lord Jesus, to put the outer man to silence, as in his sight, that there be no sin. So, the body without the spirit is dead, and as long as the spirit is living in your body, then you're going to do things, all kind of things, whether good or bad, and you're going to think all kind of thoughts, whether good or bad, and then at the end of the way, you're going to be rewarded accordingly. The Lord will feed you the thoughts of your hearts. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, and he will feed you the thoughts of your heart. Paul said, in that day when God judges the secrets of men's hearts by this gospel which I am preaching, and the very secrets and intents of men's hearts will be made known. So then, in that day, your angelic man will stand before God. At death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. The real you will be judged according to the deeds that inner you does while it tabernacles in this little body of clay. So the writer said, let us sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, which is coming to each and every one. And then we can rejoice on that day when we hear the Savior say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won. All right, let's read from over in the book of Galatians. You know, I don't have any favorite scripture because all of the scripture is inspired and given of God, and it's always inspirational to me. But I do like the book of Galatians because Paul, though it doesn't sound like it's very intriguing as to the deep mysteries of God when you read the book of Galatians, but if you have the spirit of revelation, this is such a powerful, amazing book that is filled with heavenly treasure. And when you open up this treasure chest of the book of Galatians, it is astounding as to the great, mighty, wonderful things that are revealed from within this book. All right, so reading from the book of Galatians, third chapter, beginning at the first verse. And before I read, I'd like to say that we're glad to have, is it Jacob? The name Jacob? Jacobs. Okay, where are you from? Midland, Texas, okay. We've got quite a number of Texas folks here. A lot of them from out of Houston. As a matter of fact, we got a call last night from my son Joseph and Brother Pasden out of Del Rio, Texas. They're just gone into Mexico and carried a great load of clothing, and they carried some mattresses and bicycles and different things into that area for those that are poor and needy. As a matter of fact, Joe said that standing on the mattresses as they stayed there to try to give them out, that some people literally jerked them out from under them and went away with them. They needed bedding so bad. But it thrilled Joe and Brother Paz and the others to see this happen. They gave out lots and lots of candy and different things for the poor and the needy. As a matter of fact, it's so striking as to Joe. He called back and said, I've decided that what I want to do is be a missionary to Mexico for the rest of my life. We're real thankful for those that have gone into Mexico at different times. We have had different brethren that have gone into Mexico at different times, and they've taken so many, many thousands of garments, sometimes tractor and trailer loads. As a matter of fact, this particular trip, I believe they took 600 boxes of those big boxes that your people had packed, along with the other things that they took. And there's a real desperation, a real need there. Let me also make mention that I'd like for you to pray for me because I'm pressed on every corner. You know, all my life practically, since I've been in the ministry, I felt like that the world was let down on top of me and I never got out from under it. You know, it feels so crushing. World evangelism and people all over the world needing the gospel, knowing that people are dying and going to hell by the millions, and the charge is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And knowing this, seeing this, understanding this, having the pressures that I have on the home front as to building buildings and keeping buildings up, as to deterioration and paying the bills on the home front when it comes to light bills and when it comes to sharing with the poor on the home front and sharing with the needy and helping brethren and paying our way along, and the many, many multiplied things on the home front, whether we preach on the home front or whether that is under the tent or in the churches or wherever we go, so many multiplied things as to pressures and things that we have to look at and look after on the home front. And then in the foreign fields, so many hundreds and thousands of people that want us to come to them, to preach to them, and tell them about the wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. Trying to keep up with the television work on the home front, which I'm always behind with it as far as programs. They run out of programs, I think, about Tuesday, and they have to have them every day, 6 days a week. And I'm always having different ones coming in, visiting, and letting them minister or giving them offerings or whatever that takes away from the home front continually and hinders us in those things, and yet we try to cope with it. And the radio programs, all the different things that we're trying to do here, the printing presses, we have to keep those rolling and keep literature going out. And those that are overseas wanting us to come, we're under pressure like now. We've got 8 weeks, I believe it is, if we hold a crusade in India. I promised them the last time we was there we'd be back for a crusade. And if I hold the crusade, I've got 8 weeks before the monsoon season. And we have a load on the home front financially that it runs into many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And these have to come regular outside of including expense as to have crusades over in the foreign fields. But nevertheless, the Lord always abundantly meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory. He never cuts me short, and I never have to bother anybody with my problem. He always takes care of it. I don't have to peddle. I don't have to sell. I don't have to solicit. God takes care of it, which reminds me, Brother Jim and I was off this evening and we were looking for a few things as to our metal work down here. I got a lot of metal work going. We're trying to get it finished. And while we were there, the Lord let me run across something that looks like that it'll be beneficial to us of some things that I was wanting. Ever since that we've been here, I had wanted the gates for this archway out here. And we started years ago to try to fix those gates, and something happened that we never did. And then the Lord let me know that it wasn't time for it, that He had a purpose and a program. And that purpose and program was that as to the closing out of the days of the Gentiles, then would come the gates. And I told you what was happening in the last X amount of months. The years have passed by, we didn't get the gates, and Then all of a sudden today, over looking for some metal, I run across some big, beautiful white gates that are already made. I'll have to customize a little bit, change around a little bit, because our opening is bigger, so far as a little wider than the gates, but our men have the skill to do it. And they're very lovely gates, and we went ahead and bought them. So we'll be hanging the gates out there. We'll do a little customizing on those gates. And I'll have to have somebody to go pick them up tomorrow morning. I've already purchased the gates. And it's a good little ways from here. But I'll have to have somebody to go get them. It's too late today to try to get them. So you pray about that, and I'll remind you tomorrow. You remind me, and we'll send after the gates. Has great significance for them that understand, them that believe, them that know. It has great significance. Now, we're back together again tonight to study the Word of the Lord, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, that we might go on to a full reward. Now, you that are fortunate, you're here. God has brought you from different places of the nation around the world, and He hath indoctrinated me and you as children together. We've grown in the things of God. And He has indoctrinated us with His wonderful word of understanding. And the Bible says, since Calvary now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God, even this heavenly treasure that is in our earthen vessels, it's given to us. And you now have that. Since you have that, then great things are required of you. Those that are without are beasts. Unless there is among them elect, there are still among the people some elect that must hear and come in. But the people are beasts, and Jesus referred to them as swine that wallow in the mire after that they have been washed. He said the sow will go back to her wallowing in the mire, which means the old mind of ugliness and filth that they have, their human desire. And He said the dog would go back to his lapping of the vomit. And then He tells us that we are children of light, that we are gods, and that we live eternally, that we'll never die, that we're made to never die, but live eternally, to have eternal riches, eternal splendor, eternal glory, eternal magnificence, and to have the desires of our heart. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And if you'll delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. So then we realize that we have come to the mount, the Bible said, of the great church of the living God, wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. And we are just people in that the Bible said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been delivered for our offenses, He was raised also for our justification. So then we see this, and knowing this, and knowing that the whole world is in darkness, and in their little finite minds, and poor, simple way of struggling, looking, trying to find out something, they have exalted themselves to believe that they understand when they're not even equal to a little baby that's in the kingdom of God as to the true knowledge. Even the great professors of the world, I said the other night, not even Einstein. Einstein was not even the equivalence of a babe in Christ as to all of his brilliance. And he realized that just before his death, he made a statement that accredited to God as being so much mightier and greater than he could ever hope to obtain unto. He did give God the glory for it, but was thankful that God had revealed to him what he had. But anyway, as to those that are there, you see what kind of responsibility you have. The responsibility that's upon you. For his knowledge is higher above your knowledge, the Bible tells us, than the heavens is the earth. And that the wise and the prudent of all learning of this world can never obtain unto it. And the Bible says that he hath hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and made it revelation or revealed it unto babes, such as we're willing to learn, having given us His Spirit as to the Spirit of revelation. So then you see your responsibility, you see what you have, you see the understanding. But I want to read just a little bit here, and I want you to think on this now as I read it, because it tells you exactly where you are as to your present condition, though you be called into these wonderful things. So listen real close. We read it before, but we want to remind you again. Peter said, though you know these things, yet we feel that we should stir up your mind in Christ while we are yet abiding in this tabernacle. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. But a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Father into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I bestow it upon your labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessing that ye speak of? For I bear your record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always, and a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ, be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the covenants. One, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. All right, that verse came from chapter 5, the book of Galatians. Now, I read quite a bit there because I wanted you to kind of grasp what I'm saying. If you'll notice, in chapter 4, he's telling us that though we are the heir as to the things of God, and though we are Lord of all, we are Lord of all. That is, everything belongs to us. Did you know there's not a thing that doesn't belong to us? That everything in this world, every industry in this world belongs to you and I. It doesn't belong to those that are out there working, that's heaped up money for all of those things. They think that it does, but they're only our servants. And they're taking care of the world and all therein, that it may continue until you and I finish our school as to our college of diplomacy, that we might have the mind of Christ, and then we'll take over all of the world. For the Bible says that Lucifer, through the carnal mind of those people being at enmity with God, shall literally wear out the saints. And then the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdoms of this world. We already have the kingdom of God within us by new birth. But we'll rise and take the kingdoms of this world to rule and reign and to possess them forever and forever. So then the Bible said, God giveth to the wicked travail, that they may heap together their billions and millions. They may heap together treasure, that the righteous, as to the children of God, may take it over and enjoy it all. So then we see that God has done a great thing for us. All things are ours. So then, being Lord of all, in that we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, Him being Lord of Lords and King of Kings, then are we one with Him. And in that we are, then we own all things, and all things are ours. By faith, we can enjoy all the benefits of life, seeking the kingdom first. All of the things are added unto us. that we need, that we want, that we desire, even to the heart's desire. And then God will make all of our enemies be at peace with us. The race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. Even though we've got all kind of military defense and we feel that we must have this to protect us and take care of us. But you'll find out that God rules in the affairs of men, works all things after the counsel of his own will. He raises up one and puts down another. And it is God that keepeth the nation. Like America, America's not been kept by military defense. As a matter of fact, when the Japanese attacked at Pearl Harbor many years ago, we were in such a condition in the days of Roosevelt that if they'd have come on and had not turned around, they would have took America over. God has kept us when we had no military defense. And now, trusting in the arm of flesh, going down to Egypt for help, we're going to find out not only of this nation of America, but every nation in the world is going to be overthrown by one little nation that is not able to do anything, and that's the great city of Old Jerusalem. And the Lord will come back, set up a regime for 1,000 years, do away with all the military defense. After this great deluge and this great battle as to Armageddon, that those people in that area of that little nation will spend many months gathering many things that were destroyed in the war just to burn it as wood for fire and those kind of things. So they'll take all those things and use it for personal benefits. They'll even take the swords and beat them into plowshares. So we can see that the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, it is the Lord's. He just works everything the way he wants to. The Bible said 430 years, Abraham, your seed will wander in the land of bondage. And after this, I'll send forth a deliverer, that is to say Moses, and by a mighty hand I'll lead them out. And God did it just on time and turned Egypt into an ash heap. And left it in a stench and took the children of Israel out. So he just does what he wants to whenever he gets ready. He rules in the affairs of men. And now we're going through our schooling. And Paul said, now while we're under these tutors and governors, he said, we don't differ from a child. We don't mess with any of this ruling power or authority as to the natural things of the world. We just take whatever God gives us. We run it through the filter. We enjoy it because we differ nothing from a child, though we be Lord of all. He says, but now at the time when we come to the bar mitzvah, it is said, or when we come to the time of recognized sonship, when we finish with our tutoring, then we are immediately brought into power to rule with a rod of iron, and all the world has to come and kneel at our feet and know that God has loved us. See, and if you'll notice what he's pointing out here in chapter 4 is, he is trying to tell us that the coming of Calvary is the time of this inheritance. For he says here in the 3rd chapter, 23rd verse, but before faith came. Now I know when we say faith came, we think about you and I believing our faith. But I tell you again, our faith must be accompanied by works or it's dead. That is the faith of human beings that causes us to believe in his faith or his righteousness. So that's why the Bible said contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And it says here, but before faith came. That is the faith of Jesus Christ. Now think about that. Before faith came, remember in the Old Testament, they believed in God. They had their natural faith. So it wasn't talking about that. It's talking about the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of one. He said, as in Isaac, all is to be blessed. That is to say, in Jesus Christ, Isaac being a type, that Jesus Christ alone lived the perfect life, had the perfect faith, and this perfect faith brought God into the veil of humanity, even in his fullness, in the body of the Lord Jesus. And then from that time on, that faith was sufficient to bring him into your body of humanity as to a measure, as to whatever you submit, as to the outer surrender, as to the inner man Christ, which becomes interwoven with your angelic being according to your measure. And your measure is according to your faith. And your faith is according to your surrender, in that we keep a clear conscience by surrendering. We keep a clear conscience by conforming to His desire. And thus faith or confidence comes up in this great God righteousness and this God way of life. And thus we receive a measure according to that measure of faith. So then God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith. And this brings the measure of spirit into our life as to what part of the body of God that we're going to be, as the great God body, and that the body of the Lord Jesus was the body of God. So then, as flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, we're members in particular, having been baptized into this great life of Christ, by becoming connected with the body, or that is being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for remission of sin. And then the wonderful Holy Ghost, says to the Spirit, coming into our spirit, has attached our spirit to His great eternal spirit. That makes us a member as to the measure of whatever we receive. Take a lot of detail in explaining that, but we've got that on tape numbers of times where we brought out certain things to explain this a little more in detail. So you know what I'm saying. All right, so then I refer back to it. Notice the 22nd verse. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. He's telling the Jews here, you know better than anybody else. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, see, ever since Calvary, we've had this wonderful, wonderful benefit. God has given it to us. We are not under tutors anymore. I know in preaching, when I preach and when others preach, I know that you get the concept a lot of times that that means that we're all under tutors and we're studying and we're trying to come to a diplomacy in Christ. You know, and if we ever come to it, then we're going to be more than just a child. We're going to take over our lordship. And that is true. But there's a misconcept a lot of times in what I'm saying as to the way that you understood it. See, because the way that you look at it, you put it in the future as to a certain coming of the Lord or a certain time when we're going to come to this benefit. And this is the thing that I'm always trying to change in your mind. Because though there be a certain time in your life that you're coming to it, it is not as to a time appointed of God as to God waiting, but it's a time appointed of God as to you being slow to grasp. Are you not coming in? Are you not applying yourself fully? Or as to say, the waiting upon those that must first be born into the world before they can have a Calvary. See, Calvary was way back, multiplied hundreds of years ago. And thus came the faith with Jesus Christ, the perfect one. And it has been here ever since and has been available to humanity ever since. But in that humanity was not able to grasp the fullness of time as to this wonderful benefit that brought them into heaven, that took them into heaven, that took them into divine deliverance as to healing, and took them into this great wonderful knowledge that could speak a world into existence or create diamonds and pearls, or this great wonderful sonship that was from Calvary, and that they've not been able to comprehend. God put a fivefold ministry beginning in the church, beginning at Calvary. And from that time, God has let this fivefold ministry expound these things from one church age to another church age until it comes on down until this generation, to where we can be born in, and then our Calvary's there, just like the generation that was born in at the time that Calvary first came. So then, all of His tutoring comes down to us. And its compound is from one angelic being to another, as to the angels of the church ages or those ministers that God has given it to compound it, to bring it down to us. I say again, as an allegoric thing shows, as in the medical world or any other field of activity, that as from one physician in one generation to another physician in another generation, they have compiled their knowledge until this day, the generation of the physicians who have entered into the labor of other men stand great and tall when they haven't been, they didn't have that knowledge. They didn't search out that knowledge as far as the labor, but they entered into other men's labors by studying books and the different things that was written and passed on down to them. Going to college, they got that diploma. And so it is with us. The Bible said we've entered into other men's labors. Many of these things we didn't search out as to the compound meanings of the scriptures or as to the laboring of those that went through the dark age and as those that were beheaded for Christ and all these other things. They searched out many things through fasting and praying, and they sent them on down to us through compiled efforts that's called Bible, like 66 books put together, and it's called a biblical thing. So then we are partakers of all of these wonderful riches and this wonderful knowledge. And since Calvary, then the veil has been rent in twain. And the Bible said, God having given this to us in Christ before the world ever was, now at Calvary He reveals it. And from then the church ages begins, and we come all the way down to our day. Now it's our generation. We're looking toward this wonderful thing that God has given unto us as a compound thing. And what is the benefit of this compound thing? The benefit of this compound thing is that we can go right into the blessed eternal mind of the Lord Jesus. For now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. Paul got this kind of wisdom and it took him into the third heaven. John got it and it took him into the third heaven. So now here we have it. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, now that we got it, what is it going to do for us? Now, you can't say, now that we have it, what is it going to do for us? See, we that have it have to say, now that we have it, what did it do for us? It took us into heaven, and we are they that dwell in heaven, just like Paul and John and the others. You say, but Brother Pike, look at me. You see me sitting here on the earth, here in this natural building. I know that, but I also know the overseer of this church said, whether in my body or out of my body, I can't tell. He said, I don't know whether the body went up there or not. I can't tell that. But he said, one thing is that if we're absent from the body as the spiritual man, we're present with God, which is the Bible teachings, in that the spirit goeth back to God who gave it at the departing from the body as to sleep, or what we refer to as death. And so then we see what God has done for us. But the thing is, though this has been done for us by Calvary through Jesus Christ, and had been there in the beginning of the world, in that the Bible said He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and God wrote our names down in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. Always been our treasure. We've always been God's elect. The Bible said when Paul of old preached to them people, as many as were elect or was ordained before of old unto eternal life, as many as were in the foreknowledge of God to whom God gave this eternal life. The Bible said when Paul preached to them in his day, that many believed. And the Bible said the rest of them did not believe. And Paul shook his raiment and said, as to the beast, your blood be upon your own head. And he went his way. But those that were elect were brought into the kingdom of God. The same way today, when God speaks, the Bible said it's not the minister speaking, but God speaking from within him. And they shall all be taught of God. And judgment shall begin at the house of God. And whosoever sins the minister remits shall be remitted. And whosoever sins the minister retains shall be retained. So then, the same way today, you come to this today, if you believe, then you come into the wonderful kingdom of God. If you do not believe, it is the proof that you are a beast and you go back out into the darkness. God illuminates just long enough to get the shadows off of your mind. By the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement, He illuminates to let the rain come down on the tare. And He nourishes the tare just like He nourishes the sweet. And both of them grow together. But at the end, the harvest is according to the yielding. And the yielding is according to the planting as to the seed, and the reaping comes, and then the reward is according to the grain. So then, if you are a tare, then you are rewarded. As I said, the wages of sin is death. And the Bible said God will send His angels. He'll reap the fields, and He'll sever, and He'll take the just from among the unjust, and He'll bind those tares into bundles and cast them into the lake of fire. And He said, and the wheat shall be bound together, even as the unity of the body of Christ, and they shall be gathered into the garner for the use of the master. So we see that we have this thing through the Lord Jesus. I already have this. I already have eternal life. I already have passed from death unto life. I already have everlasting righteousness. The Bible says, and I remind you again, that when the angel talked to Daniel 500 years before the time of Calvary, or that is to be exact 483 years, so far as they can tell. When he talked with Daniel, he said, Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. So I can say today, he that is born of God cannot sin. For Jesus became our sin, became the bastard child image of death, that which God despised, as they that are born in Adam, all of them die. So then he took that image to Calvary. He smote that image. He'd done away with that image, and he never sees you as you are in your natural, never again. You're dead, you're buried, you're gone. It doesn't matter how much you think of your face and your body. God despises it. He killed it at Calvary. It's buried, it's gone. It is a bastard child. He doesn't like the image. It is that came out of wedlock. It was not in wedlock. So then it is the act of Satan. It is the tare that Satan sowed. And the only proof that you are elect is that when you come to this wonderful knowledge of God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are baptized into the death of the Lord Jesus, to put on the Lord Jesus, and your spirit goes back to God who gave it, or that is Christ, comes on the inside of you into your heart, into your spirit. And when this happened, it is a proof that you're not one of the tares, and that you do not perish in the fire. For Jesus went into the fire for us, and the Bible said God suffered not His Holy One soul to remain in hell. His soul went into hell for me. Because if my soul had went into hell, it couldn't have come out. My body going into the grave with corruption could not come out. But the Bible said God suffered not His Holy One's body to see corruption. So His spirit went back to God who gave it because it was pure. And His body went into the grave and came out to show that corruption would never get my body, that I would actually have my body throughout eternity. As to the resurrection, not this going to be when I come out of the grave. Should I go by the way of the grave? Many people won't go by the way of the grave. They'll just be changed. But this body already is bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh in the sight of God. And God never sees the image of corruption that's dead, buried, and gone. And He tells you and I that we're not to know each other after the flesh, as to the old man of corruption. There's not a man that liveth that sinneth not. Everyone is turned to his own way. All have become unprofitable to God. All of them are corruptible and despised in the sight of God. But God has given us the Spirit of His Son. And now we cry, Abba, Father. And now He has made us bone of the bone and flesh of the flesh of the righteous one that was delivered for our offenses, as to eradicate this man of image, as to the old devil image and the child of perversion, the terror, and to bring forth this inner man as a new creature, as resurrected, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification, and therefore being justified by faith because of that resurrection, I now have the resurrection and the life. As Martha and Mary said, my brother shall live again at the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He that believeth on me, though he was dead, that is, yet in trespasses and sin, yet he's alive by new birth now. And Jesus said, having been dead, I'm alive forevermore. That means I'm alive forevermore. And my soul came out. It passed through the fire. It can never be held in the flames of hell, because Jesus' soul went there for me. My body can never be held in the grave to corrupt, because Jesus went there and His body could not see corruption, because there was no sin as to Satan holding it. Before He departed this life, He said, the prince of this world cometh, he hath nothing in me. Not a thing in me. Though He reviled Jesus. Though people done all kind of things, the Bible said when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And they never got a repercussion out of Jesus so that Satan could enter into him. He was the perfect one. He defeated Satan in every way, and Satan never at any time entered into his body. But every other living human body that ever came forth was born of the blood seed of Adam and has the devil working in their flesh until they're born again. And I tell you this again, your body is not born again except in the mind and sight of God. It is still the same wretched image as looking one to another. But in the sight of God, he never sees it again. He killed it by Calvary, and it never comes in view again until Jesus descends from heaven with the trump of God, and instantly we're changed, and God sees us as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we will then be to the human sight, that which we already are in the sight of God by foreknowledge. So then, I do not look at you as the wretched image that you really are as to that man that's dead, buried, and gone. If I did, I would know you after the flesh. And I know you think your face is so handsome, and some of you ladies think your face, bodies and men too, that they're so beautiful, and you spend your time, I say again, jogging and building your bodies and trying to fast and keep pretty figures and all these kind of things and pattern and painting and twisting and curling your hair. But I tell you the truth from God, you are despised in his sight. Every living creature is despised. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that kind of preaching anyway. I know, because you are a beast and an unbeliever. But nevertheless, you'll see in the morning, he said, in the morning I will despise your image. That is to say, right now you're despised in the sense that when he sees you and you've not been born again to make that change into his likeness, he will see you as you are right now and he will despise you. The only thing that keeps God from despising you now as to the manifested thing of despising you is the blood. He keeps looking at you through the blood. So he doesn't see that old despised image. It's dead, it's buried, it's gone. He smote it at Calvary and it's gone. That's why the Bible said, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And they that walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation to them. Why? Because the Bible said they're not in the flesh. They don't walk after the flesh. They can't walk after the flesh because they're not in the flesh. God has chosen them out of the flesh, out of this world, hid them with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Well, that is, he killed their body by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, turned the spirit loose. The angelic being loose, and in heaven we're equal to the angels. Angels cannot die. So then our angelic being went to be with the angels, and it went to be with God. And someone would say, well, I don't see any angels. That's because you're not spiritual enough. That's why I tell you that you're still children and you're still under the tutors. But you can see angels. The men of God, the women of God, have always seen angels and fellowshipped angels down through the years. And even tonight here at Bethlehem, where are the angels? The Bible said encamped round about you. They're right here. It might be Michael and Gabriel. It might be any of those that are the holy angels of God. Camp round about you. But some of you people that don't love God, some of you people that are reprobates, some of you people that's come to the knowledge of the truth and turned away from God, and you love the wages of unrighteousness, there's some angels in camp round about you too, like Beelzebub. That's right. The prince of devils and Satan, Lucifer, all these fallen angels. They're round about you. Not only round about you, but they have entered into you. As it was legion in the tombs when so many entered in that he could pop the chains. They couldn't bind him with chains. All the time in the tombs, going to and fro, howling, day and night, cutting himself with stones. In that one man was enough devils that when Jesus cast those devils out, though there was a whole herd of swine, there was enough devils that filled the entire herd of swine. And the swine had more principle about them than the man, because they immediately drowned themselves in the sea to keep those devils from possessing them. Now, and with Samson, it was right the other way. It was the great Spirit of God that entered into him and made him so mighty they couldn't bind him. He would break anything that they tried to bind him with. And when he had the confrontation with the lion, he just reached over and got him. I've reminded you of this so many times. Reached over and got a mountain lion and just rent him like he'd been a little goat or a kid, as it says. So then we see the wonderful thing that we already are. Now, beloved, are we the sons of God. We should not walk after the flesh. We should make no provisions for that old bastard image. We should not go after that thing. We should be in moderation. And the Bible says the adorning of yourself. Don't let it be all of this weight lifting and jogging and twisting of hair and the powdering of the face and all these kind of things and rings in your ears and gold and silver all over you. The Bible said don't let it be that outward appearance as to the wearing of apparel that is of all kind of colorful thing that people will notice you. But let your moderation be known in all things. And not the plaiting of the hair, that is the curling and whatever. And not the putting on or the wearing of gold. But the Bible said let it be the inward hidden man of the heart. In that which is the angelic, the spiritual man, feed him. Paul said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, that is to consider this outward man dead because of the body of the Lord Jesus. And let it not be the outward adorning of building up this old thing for human ego as the human passions so that you can enjoy the human senses as to whatever it might lead to. See, don't go after that. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of the things that you need or that you desire will be given unto you. They'll be added unto you. But Paul said, let it be the adorning of the inner man, of the meekness of the heart. Let it be that man. So we want an incorruptible spirit because the outer man, the Bible said he's altogether corruptible. Corruptible flesh. All flesh has corrupted their way before God. And the Bible said as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. All flesh in that day had corrupted its way before God. There's no flesh in the world today but what it has corrupted itself. See, and God hath laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. And He's the one that was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace is upon Him. That is to say, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so then, we need to believe on His righteousness. Because I tell you once again, that God, who is the eternal Spirit, cannot even look at you. Because you are shapen in iniquity. And in iniquity was you conceived. He cannot even look at you except through the righteousness of the Son of God. It is through the righteousness of the Son of God. So then, if it's through the righteousness of the Son of God, then I must believe in His righteousness. And it is His faith that comes into my heart, purifies my heart, and through that, His Spirit comes into my life. And my spirit becomes eternal as it becomes intermingled with the eternal spirit, which is the Christ spirit. And I can never from that time die. Though I stumble, though I stagger, though I make mistakes, though I may have problems, as to this outer man, for the Bible said in the world, that is in the flesh you'll have trouble, but in me you'll have peace. Even perfect peace. And he that keepeth his mind stayed on me shall have perfect peace. And all the paths of God are peace. And they that make peace shall be called the children of God. So then I know that I have Christ in me eternally. I can never die. I'd pass from death unto life. Never can I die. And this body will go through a change. After a while, the generations it comes, could be this generation now, that will be changed and never go into a casket, never go into the grave, because they're learning that they can never die. And that when these that pass on, are not dying when they're Christians. They are going to sleep. You know, and I say this to the ignorant because some ignorant folks, you know, they say, well, that's a smooth way of saying die. You know, like they used to tell us in the funeral home, you know, say he's deceased. Don't say he just up and died, you know. It's deceased. And don't say he's laying in there in a coffin. Say he's lying in state, you know. Make it gentle. Like they say, speak gentle words to us, you know, articulate our ears. Tell us something we want to hear, preacher. But nevertheless, as to the ignorant, I tell you that there's a difference between the Spirit of God departing from your body and you going to sleep. There's a difference between that and God's Spirit leaving your spirit. For when the spirit departs from the body goes to sleep, and the spirit will return back into the body to pick it up. If you are eternal in your spirit as to oneness with Christ, you'll return back into that body. But if you're not, at death, God will be completely separated from you. Someone will say, Brother Pike, you think then God will just depart from my spirit and then I'll be dead? No. God has never gotten into your spirit to start with, to begin with. You're already dead. They that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. We are already eternal and alive. But you don't have God on the inside of you. You don't have any life on the inside of you. All you have is a breath of life. And if somebody gives you a good jolt or scare, it can knock the breath of life out of you and you're gone. See, because all you have is a little heartbeat. As your body picks up the oxygen through the lungs and this life, as to the cosmic energy coming down through your hypothalamus into your body to create the vibrations to keep you alive, that's the only quickening you have. But we have an eternal quickening from God. Remember, I've tried to tell you this a lot of times in tutoring, that in the garden, man was overshadowed with an eternal vibration, an eternal quickening that affected his spirit that went out through his body. But he was only overshadowed to keep the body alive. See, and when man departed from this, God had to have a quickening. He switched him over to a human sense of quickening. And the five human senses that pick up vibrations, like 22 conductive nerves from my eye to the brain, the vibrations come and images focus on my brain. And that's all you are, is a beast. You understand what I'm saying? Unless Christ comes in, which means you don't have any life on the inside of you. You don't have any life there. So then, at the time when your spirit separates from your body, it means that you can never get to God again, because the only way that you have any relationship with God now, in that you're not born again, is simply because the blood is on the seat of atonement. And as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, the rain is on the just and the unjust. So then with you, we come here and all of us together feel the blessings of God. Somebody might shout. They shout their shoe heels off. They dance. They holler. They scream. Somebody said, well, it's the devil. No, it's not the devil. It's God. It's God pouring out His Spirit upon the just and the unjust. The rain on the tare and on the wheat. And the rain comes down so that the tare can live, because the tare has to have the same water. See, but when this comes down, it's not the same with them and with you. Because you are born to the Shekinah, and you have the Shekinah on the inside, which means you have the eternal vibration as to the quickening on the inside. In your spirit, that will always keep your body alive. It can never die. See, you understand what I'm saying? But the person that is a tare, they don't have this eternal quickening in their spirit on the inside. They are only in the presence of it, like Adam and Eve was in the garden. That's all they have. And just as quick as death comes, or that is to say, some complication of the body is to a heart attack, hit by a car, whatever it might come, or as to aging process, whatever. As to feebleness, then the spirit goes away. See, the very minute it departs from the body, it doesn't go into darkness. It's already in darkness, intellectual darkness. It's already cut off from God. They never see when good comes. Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see when good comes. They never see anything good. They're always a mumbling, a grumbling, hostile, and finding fault. They never have any peace, because the Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. That God, He said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. He said, I will pursue you till you perish. I'll tear you into pieces. All nations that forget me, I'll turn them into hell. See, but as long as this religious light is here, as long as this wonderful rain is coming down, it's because the blood is on the seat of atonement. So then when your spirit departs from your body, it means there's no more rain, because the rain comes down on the body. See, and you have no more opportunity to repent. When it separates as that which is in darkness. It's already at its destination, even while it lives in that body. But it is not in torment. But when it separates, there's no more grace coming down from the blood as to the seed of atonement to keep the tormenting spirits from seizing upon that body and that soul. See, and just as quick as it departs the body, then that is forever the separation of the spirit of man from the spirit of God, which is death, and they go into the lake of fire, for that's called the second death, which is the only death. Because the separation of your spirit from your body, as to those that have Christ, that is sleep. Your body goes to sleep because your spirit goes right to God who gave it. I remind you again, the Bible said, and Lazarus died and the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. When you say bosom, that means faith of Abraham. For faith comes from the bosom. They went to sleep in the faith. And the Bible said all of these lay down in the faith. You know, and they confess the faith and they rest in the faith. Looking forward to that great, wonderful faith as to the confession of the coming of the time of the faith as to the justification that they will receive. And the Bible said they without us could not be made perfect. So they slept in their place. That is in that place of the bosom of Abraham. But after Calvary, Jesus went down to that place. And that's when he gave them the perfect garment, which was his own body. And we are baptized in the death as to the watery grave that we might put him on. But they went by the way of the grave that they might put him on. See, so death unto them was going by the way of the grave to put them on because the Holy Ghost was not yet given unto Calvary. Therefore, the law and the blood of bulls and goats brought nothing to perfection. But the Bible said, when that which is perfect is come, even Christ Jesus or the church, now is done away with that as to that which is in part on the other side of Calvary. But the other side of Calvary is only to you and I. Because every person that's fallen from grace is under the law. That is to say, there is no Calvary between God and all of these generations, even from the garden to the coming of the Lord Jesus. There is no Calvary that separates those people. They're one great stream of illegitimacy, and one great stream as the bastard child, and one great stream as the beast and some brute beast made to be taken and burned. So then, only you and I that come to Calvary find a Calvary between the Old Testament as to the law of sin and death and us. There is a Calvary between us and that. Therefore, we are they that dwell in heaven. We are they that have been translated. We're not in the flesh. We can't walk in the flesh. He's chosen the side of the flesh. Hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the restoration, or the millennium, the restoring, or the coming of the Lord Jesus. So then, when our spirit departs, as Lazarus, even in that day, looking forward to the faith, he had a place of rest until Jesus went down, loosed the souls in prison, took them right into the paradise of God. And the Bible said the rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes because that's where his spirit went. Just as quick as that body separates from the spirit immediately, then you're going to feel the sting of that eternal darkness that is intellectual fear and frustration and anxiety. Whereas even in this world, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is, their spirit's already caught in it. Science falsely so called. That is to say, knowledge that's foolishness in the sight of God. But nevertheless, God has done all these things for us, and I could go on all night because it'd take all night just to explain a little bit of this. But you that have had many things explained to you, think of this. Calvary was the time as to come out from under the tutelage. So then if you're born into this generation, now you've come to your Calvary, then while you're coming to your Calvary as to hear the voice of God or the minister speak to you or coming together with the members of the body of Christ Jesus, in that we do it to the least of these, we do it to God, in that we don't do it to God, we be judged accordingly, the saints shall judge the world. But in that you've come to your Calvary as to your generation, being born into this day, then that means that you have the opportunity now to go right through the scholarship by faith, enjoying these wonderful things, even as a babe caught up to the throne, enjoying these heavenly things, coming to the full measure or the full reward. See, coming to these because it has been made known to the church now in Calvary. And you have this heavenly treasure in this earthen vessel. What can it do? It will transformate your mind, translate your spirit, transfigure your body, catch you right up into the heavenlies. You understand what I'm saying? John saw the door open in heaven. It's open. Peter had the keys. He opened the door. The door's open in heaven. A voice is saying, come up hither. So then you have this great opportunity through the Word, which is the Christ Spirit. That is to say, that is the Spirit between heaven and earth. If I be lifted up as between heaven and earth, I'll draw all men unto me. I'll be the door. I say again, his shepherd made the door between here and the celestial, as they call it, in this world. So then we are those that are privileged to live in the day as to Calvary, where the door is open in heaven. And we can go right into the presence of God. For the veil is rent in twain, and we go right into the holies of holies, which is called the holy, most holy place, which is heaven. And in between that holies of holies, or the most holy place, between that and the outer courts is what's called the holy place. Because that is called the holies of holies, or the most holy, which means we are now in heaven. We've entered into heaven by the rent veil of the human body. Now we are they that dwell in heaven. And God's Spirit is with us, and the angels encamp round about us. And we have God in us, and Paul said he's in us, he's above us, and he's through us. And heaven, of course, is the Spirit. Natural-minded people never understand that. But nevertheless, our spirit has become interwoven with one spirit, even the eternal God Spirit. So then, our bodies are waiting for a change. But by faith, we can just go ahead and change the body like Enoch. By faith. Faith of what? Of hearing the Word. Of hearing the Word. See, we hear the Word. And the Word is detailed to us, or is made known unto us, all of this manifold wisdom of God that we might transformate in our minds. See, the blood on the seat of atonement, even brute beasts can come up and transform their minds and get healed by just believing, because God took away the sins of the world through Jesus Christ, even as to a dispensational grace, but after a while that's going to lift like it did off of Adam and Eve, and only the eternal grace as unto salvation, which you're born of, will remain as to the righteous. So then I said all that to say this, that we have come unto the mount wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect, for he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he hath glorified them that he hath sanctified. So what can we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? We have all power over the devil, all power over death, all power over poverty, all power over unrighteousness. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Because not only did Messiah take away sin so that we be born of God, we don't sin, but the Bible said he came to bring in everlasting righteousness. Not righteousness as to a confession from revival to revival, but everlasting righteousness. And I now have the everlasting righteousness. Whereas I keep myself, and the evil one toucheth me not. Being born of God, therefore we cannot sin. Thus we are now the beloved children of God. Well, we could go on and on saying wonderful things as to the revelation of the Lord Jesus, as to what this is. A lot of times people come to me and they say, well, Brother Pike, I want you to tell me one thing. Who is it that's going in the rapture? Can you differentiate us between one and another and tell me who it will be? And they've got all kind of ideas about it. But I've tried to explain to them that the translation as to the rapture is the God family. Everyone that's born of God will go in the translation. Even the little babe that's just been born into the kingdom. Whether they have the revelation or not, they have the kingdom within them. What a little baby has life in him. He has entered into your world. He may not be a professor. He may not have a scholarship. He may not know what you know as to skill and time. That is by experience. But he has just as much life as you have. As to having life, he's just as much alive as you are. He's just as much in your family. He's just as much alive. See, so he's part of your family. Wherever you go, he goes with you. So then, I said that to say this. If you are in the God family, then you go. But folks, you have to remember, you don't get the reward in heaven as to the labor. You don't get that kind of reward. A babe doesn't get the benefits of all the great and mighty things that a grown man gets, or a grown woman has to know those things, has to understand those beautiful things. Though they do, as to being in the environment of it, as to having the benefit at hand, they do. But as to knowing and understanding, they don't. See, and someone will say, well, that's be the case then, Brother Pike. You know, if we're going into glory, if we're going into glory, you know, as a babe, why should we hassle our minds to try to understand all of this? Simply because there won't be any babes going anywhere unless there's some parents that lay up for the children. And that laying up for the children is they have to come to the knowledge of this. Just like scientists comes to the knowledge of things out here, and by their knowledge things are developed that you that don't know nothing about what it took to develop it, you enjoy it as to the light coming in, as to the electricity. You don't understand watts and ohms and all these other things. You don't understand cosmic light and cosmic energy. Many of you know nothing about it. And you that have went to school to study some, you just know a fragment about it. And the speed of light and all these other things, the magnetic fields, you don't understand them. You just know of them. You've read about them. You understand what I'm saying? Because the parents did that to bring you this modern world or bring you into this modern world. Or you'd been back in the same old primitive way of life your forefathers was, still with a mule and a plow. So I'm trying to tell you that it takes the children of God, that is to those with a diplomacy, or those that are willing to go on and search it out, or that is the spiritual scientific ones of God, search this out, put it together, and then they bring this world to you, and they bring you into this world. Just like a modern airplane. It's just like a rocket going up into the heavens. See, by modern technology, by understanding all of these things. You know, I went down to the Space Center where they launched these rockets. I took one look. I walked through there, and I saw so many wires and so many gadgets, as they call them, and so many hundreds and thousands of things in that one rocket that they had there, till it would have drove a man clear out of his mind just to try to study all them things to understand what they were. Just in one rocket. See, so I'm telling you that great is the mystery of godliness, and we are a steward of those mysteries, and there has to be somebody that understands those mysteries, and it is we that come into this that move on toward this ultimatum of God, that we conquer death because we come to the knowledge, and the knowledge gives the faith as to of Jesus Christ to the full measure of the full mind as to the faith. And then when we conquer death, then the grave can no longer hold the dead. That'll be the end of the trail. And immediately all will be changed like that. And the babies that's in the family, they'll just go right along with the parents. But we still have to, as parents, lay up for the children and go on and do our work and come to this wonderful, wonderful thing in God. You love the Lord? Let's stand together and let's sing a little chorus together. The Lord isn't against you in that you will eat, drink, buy, sell, have clothing, have families. He's not against that. All of that is clean and pure in the sight of God. It's what He has given you. It is contaminated to those that are not born again, everything they do, even their thoughts. The Bible said even their conscience is defiled. For there is nothing clean to the unclean because they're not born again and they're under the curse. And all of those things are infiltrated with their dirty minds, and there's nothing clean to them. Even their conscience is defiled. See, but the bed of the marriage is undefiled and all these other things the Bible said, give of that which you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Has to give of your time, give of your substance, give of your strength, whatever it might be. And then everything is clean in the sight of God. You're clean and you have a wonderful, holy life, and God can bless you and be with you. But if you're not born again, even your children are unclean in His sight. Not unclean as to the fact that if their little bodies yield up their spirits, because their spirits are innocent, their spirits have never come to the age of accountability. That is as to know right and wrong, and the Bible teaches it is required of them. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. But they're unclean in the sense that that little spirit is dwelling in a body of clay. And that body of clay is part of Adam. As in Adam all die, it is that which is infiltrated under the curse. And it means that God cannot get to them to protect them in their lifetime. That's why so many of them are ravished. So many of them are torn. All of these things. See, they have great benefits as to the blood on the seat of atonement. That is, as to medical aid and all these things. They have all the natural benefits and protection of law as to whatever it can do. But folks, we have the supernatural protection of God as to our children. They're clean in His sight. Even if one person is an unbeliever that's married to a believer, the Bible said even the unbeliever shall be sanctified by the believer, else their children would be unclean and God couldn't protect them. So if that unbeliever departs, you're not under bondage in such a case, because God does not bind the believing to the unbelieving. Light and darkness hath no fellowship, and the temples of God have no fellowship. And God does not bind them together. But if the unbelieving be willing to dwell with the believing, don't put them away. As long as they don't interfere with your salvation, you go ahead and dwell with them. But if they die, then they're no longer sanctified as to where God can bless you and your children. They are dead, because that is in the sight of God, because they are only sanctified while they are married to the believer. See, and when they die, that sanctification don't go beyond the grave. It's just during their lifetime so that God can bless the children. But if that unbeliever dies, then they go straight to hell because they have no sanctification. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Bible said at death, then the remaining companion is not bound to the companion that has deceased. You're free to marry again. That is, you're not bound to the man nor to the woman if the companion dies. So the sanctification cannot go beyond that, because that person is no longer part of you. But if you be joined to a harlot or a whoremonger or whatever, and you continue with them knowing that they are like that, then are you one flesh? That means you two can't walk together lest they be agreed. And in the sight of God, you're dirty and filthy. There is no sanctification for you. But if the unbeliever just willing to be just a natural, normal human being that don't oppose you, that's willing to submit to marriage vows and whatever, or be a husband or wife or whatever, the Bible said, even as to the husband, he can be won over as he beholds your chaste conversation coupled with fear, seeing the love of God in you. Who knows but what you might save your companion's soul? All right, let's sing, Sister Dale. Give me another key, Dale. Too many miles behind me, too many trials to go through, too many tears that help me to remember I've got too much gain to lose. I thank you for the valley that I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learned to pray. I found you, the lilies blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valley I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valley I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, all the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank thee, for the valley I walk through today. For I thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee every lonely night, I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. Thank thee for the valley I walk through.
Sing it again.
For I thank thee for every hill I climb, every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night, I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. Thank thee for the valley I walk through today. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us His choice to decide our destiny. In a million years, where will you be? Where will you be? A million years from now, will you be happy? While ages roll throughout eternity, I ask this question: where will you be?
While we sing this little chorus together, just kind of ponder in your mind, where will you be? Where will you be? Let's sing this little chorus, Sister Dale.
Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my heart. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. And I remember, brother, I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Head bending low, I had trouble in my soul, looking for the place it would end. An old high preacher came a-calling one day. From the Bible he read a few words. Now I can say nothing in my words
I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. And your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little. Can you come a little closer? Come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten when I came a little closer to the Lord. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the way seems long and rough, together we can stand. For I know just what you've been going down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help to carry your load. Sing it again. So if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. And long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll help to carry your load. You love the Lord? Best sing this little chorus today. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding, dying on the Jericho. And he poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding, dying on the Jericho. Oh, can you sing that with me? Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding, dying on the Jericho. Poured in the oil and the wine. One more time. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on Jericho. And he poured in the oil. Can you give him a hand? Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. And then he poured in the oil and the wine. You love the Lord? Right, let's sing this little chorus together. Jesus, sweet Jesus,
what a wonder you are.
You are brighter the morning star. You are Pharaoh, lily that blooms
by the way, you're more
precious. Oh, precious.
Ghost Jesus,
sweet
Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are bright. By the way, you're more precious, more precious. No, one more time. Oh, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are brighter than the morning's dawn. Precious, more precious than gold. And I don't want no gold or silver. I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of to me, he's everything. So we don't need no gold or silver, and we don't need no other thing. All we need, love. For to me, he's my everything.
Give me a key, Sister Dale.
Let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And the rain falls, oh, the sunshine. I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. We'll let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. When the rain falls, or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
Let's give him another hand. Let's sing this little chorus together. Give me a case of today.
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine. Happy and sing that with me. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. For the sun's gonna shine.
Oh,
be again.
In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. Done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior on the way. I asked Him for a place to stay, where happiness of love true. Set across the bridge, bearing no sorrow. Set across the bridge, there's no more pain. And the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. One more time. There's no more sorrow. Set across the bridge, there's no more pain. And the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. And He was here all the time. Jesus was here. In line, He was here all the time. Sing it again. My Lord was here all the time. My Lord was here. And I touched Him, oh, I touched Him, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now, now I know Jesus touched me and He made me whole. For Jesus touched me, oh, He touched me, and that floods my soul. Something happened, and now, oh, now I know Jesus touched me and He made me. When I
the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Sing that with me. After all, life is over, when my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh, so whole, looking over into the city, but my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. For after all, when my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, also looking over into the city, that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Then time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And time, can you sing it with me now? Lift your hands up to the Lord. While you've got your hands up, let's give him a wave offering tonight, can you? Lift up holy hands, the Bible says, without wrath and without doubting. Sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Let's sing it again now. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the on the sea and the land, time will be no more. And I will praise him, and I will praise him. Praise the Lamb. We will give him glory, for he's for his blood has washed away. Once again, can we sing it together? And I, if you've never made the commitment to the Lord, if you've never given your heart to the Lord, the Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never called upon the name of the Lord, if you've never made that commitment to God, make it. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. Wouldn't you like to have eternal life? Now is the time of salvation today. This is the accepted time. The bride is saying, come. The bridegroom is saying, come. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. For I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us yield. I wonder if Brother Richard the Jew would come up and dismiss us. People, for his blood has washed the way. Can we sing it again as our brother comes to dismiss us tonight?